Right now, your primary bank knows, well, pretty much everything about you. They know exactly where you buy your coffee, how much you pay for rent, and honestly, whether you can actually afford that premium streaming subscription you just keep forgetting to cancel.
Yeah, they really do.
And looking at the landscape in 2026, these massive financial institutions are, well, they are absolutely terrified that you're going to take that exact data and just hand it over to a competitor.
Terrified is probably the right word, because the moment you do actually take that data elsewhere, I mean, they lose out on hundreds of millions of dollars. It's crazy. Your transaction history has quietly become like the single most valuable commodity in the entire financial sector.
Which brings us directly to the mission for today's deep dive. We are unpacking a genuinely staggering new report from MasterCard. It's called The State of Open Finance 2026. And this is a massive, massive look at the landscape. They surveyed 8,000 consumers and 300 senior financial executives across 11 different countries.
That is a huge sample size.
Right, it's massive. And the goal for us today is to figure out why you, the consumer listening right now, certainly hold this unprecedented leverage over these giant institutions, and how your personal data somehow became the ultimate bargaining chip.
Exactly. But I think before we pull apart all those numbers, we really should define what open finance actually looks like in practice. Because you hear the phrase and it sounds like boardroom jargon,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. It sounds like something from a tech conference panel.
Yeah, but it's actually really simple. It is just you, the consumer, consenting to securely share your financial data across different platforms. And you do this to get, well, better, faster, and just more personalized services.
So instead of your transaction history being locked inside a single bank's like proprietary vault, you actually hold the key.
Exactly. You can instruct your primary bank to just share your data with a third-party budgeting app, or maybe a mortgage lender, or a new investment platform, and it happens instantaneously.
I mean, that sounds incredibly convenient. But the sheer scale of the disruption happening right now, it suggests something much bigger is going on. Consumers are migrating in droves.
Yeah, and traditional banks are scrambling to build better digital tools just to keep up.
Which is wild because I've always thought of banking as a really sticky industry. Like
Yeah.
people used to stay with the exact same bank for 40 years just because it was a physical branch down the street.
Oh, that old model of geographic loyalty is entirely dead. I mean, totally gone. The report highlights some statistics that really illustrate the speed of this migration. For instance, 77% of consumers said they would switch providers entirely just to gain more transparency over how their personal data is used.
Wait, 77%
Yeah.
just for transparency.
Yes. Think about the psychology of that for a second. Three quarters of the market is willing to walk away from their bank over transparency alone. And it gets deeper. 76% would switch just to get digital features that make managing their day-to-day finances easier. And 70% would jump ship to obtain more personalized insights so they can make smarter financial decisions.
Okay, let's unpack this. It sounds to me like consumers are finally starting to treat financial institutions the exact same way we treat streaming services.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Like if the interface is clunky, or if the personalized recommendations are useless, we don't stick around out of a sense of loyalty anymore. We just hit cancel, delete the app, and move on to the next one.
That analogy holds up perfectly when you look at the broader economic environment right now. I mean, we've been living through a sustained period of inflation and global market uncertainty.
Right.
So when everyday purchasing power is challenged like that, individuals are basically forced to seek out smarter, more efficient solutions. They actively need tools that help them stretch their dollar, optimize their budgets, and secure better loan rates.
Makes sense.
So the consumer expectation hasn't just been temporarily elevated. The floor has been permanently raised. People now expect their banking app to be as intuitive, responsive, and helpful as their ride-sharing app.
And honestly, the most surprising part of the report to me is that people aren't just demanding these features for free.
Yeah.
18% of the surveyed consumers said they would actually pay a fee, like out of their own pocket, just for the ability to open a savings or investment account instantly.
Yeah, that blew my mind too.
They are literally willing to pay a premium just to eliminate the agonizing friction of manual data entry.
Which is exactly why the executives at these financial institutions are taking this so seriously. This is not just about keeping consumers happy, you know. The corporate upside is staggering.
How staggering are we talking?
Well, according to the survey, 75% of executives stated that their open finance initiatives have directly grown their bottom line revenue. We are talking about an average of 3.3% revenue growth over the past year directly tied to these tools. And for the organizations surveyed, that equates to an average of about $312 million in additional revenue per company.
Per company. That is insane. So every time I click allow on a new financial app, I'm basically handing them a piece of a $300 million pie.
Exactly.
As a consumer, realizing that changes the entire dynamic. I mean, I shouldn't just be accepting a standard free checking account. I should be demanding massive upgrades in service in exchange for my data.
You really should.
But wait, if the upside is that lucrative, why isn't every single tech company and bank simply throwing money at us to get us to click that allow button? Where's the bottleneck?
Well, the bottleneck is consumer consent, and it is costing these companies dearly. When a consumer looks at that permission screen and ultimately decides to click deny, the financial impact is immediate.
How much are they losing?
Executives estimate their companies are losing out on an average of 4.6% in additional annual revenue simply because consumers refuse to grant data permissions. And in certain regions, the hesitation is even more pronounced.
Like where?
In Brazil, for example, companies are leaving over 6% of potential revenue on the table. Millions of dollars are blocked simply because the user just doesn't trust the interface enough to share their data.
I mean, I completely understand that hesitation. You download a shiny new financial tool, it immediately asks for the login to your primary checking account, and you just freeze.
Yeah, human
You
nature.
wonder who built the app, where the data is actually going, and what happens if they get hacked?
Right. And the MasterCard report actually breaks this hesitation down into four distinct consent personas, which is just a fascinating look at our collective psychology. The largest chunk of the population, 43%, are classified as value seekers.
Okay, so who are the value seekers?
Those are the highly transactional users, the what's in it for me crowd. They will gladly hand over their data, but only if the company explicitly proves what the consumer gets in return. The trade-off has to be tangible and immediate.
Got it. And the next group.
Then you have the second group, the trusting sharers, making up 27%. This cohort views data sharing as just the unavoidable cost of participating in the modern digital era. They tend to bypass the terms and conditions and just click accept simply to access the service.
Yeah, I definitely know a few people like that. Then we have group three, the confused compliers at 18%. I have to admit, I find this group incredibly relatable.
Oh, for sure.
These are the people who share their data reluctantly, feeling practically coerced into it just to get the app to function. Like they don't actually understand why a budgeting tool needs a decade of their transaction history, but they feel they have no other choice if they want to use the product.
Right, it's that feeling of resignation. And finally, you have the avoidants, who make up 11% of the consumer base. This group outright refuses to share their financial data under almost any circumstance, even if it means they miss out on better interest rates, faster approvals, or entirely new digital features.
Let me challenge that fourth group for a second. If 11% of the market is just completely avoiding digital data sharing, aren't these just the, I don't know, digital Luddites, the folks who still write physical checks at the grocery store? From a corporate perspective, shouldn't a modern tech company just ignore that 11% and focus on the rest?
You'd think so, but the data tells a completely different story. It totally shatters that assumption. 71% of these avoidants actually desperately want the benefits of open finance.
Wait, really? They want the benefits but refuse to share the data.
Exactly. They want the automated budgeting insights, the instant loan approvals, all of it. Their hesitation has absolutely nothing to do with being anti-technology. It is purely driven by a heightened fear of data breaches and just a deep-seated lack of trust in institutions.
Ah, so they aren't anti-tech, they're anti-risk.
Right. Often this group consists of people who have previously had their data compromised in a corporate hack. So ignoring them means walking away from a highly motivated segment of the market that simply requires a different approach to reassurance.
Interesting. And there are also massive geographical differences in how these personas are distributed, right?
Gauge differences.
The United States and Australia are incredibly open to this ecosystem. The report says 87% of consumers in those countries are generally willing to share their financial data. But look at Europe. France sits at 53% willingness, and Poland is at 51%.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast.
Half of the population in those countries is highly skeptical of handing over the keys to their financial history.
And that geographical divide usually comes down to deeply ingrained cultural attitudes toward privacy, as well as the historical impact of heavy data regulation in Europe. But regardless of the region, the core challenge for these institutions remains exactly the same.
Which is figuring out how to build trust.
Yes. If everyone, including those highly skeptical avoidants, actually wants the final product, the companies have to figure out the psychological trigger that makes people feel safe enough to bridge that gap.
So what is that trigger? Because throwing up a slick graphic and a big connect your bank button clearly isn't enough to calm someone who has been burned by a data breach before.
Across all 11 countries surveyed, the absolute number one priority that drives consumers to connect their bank accounts is the promise of saving time.
Time.
Time. It is a massive driver, especially in the US, where 58% of consumers cite it as their primary motivation, and in Australia at 54%. People will voluntarily hand over their most sensitive private financial data if the institution can definitively prove that it will eliminate administrative headaches and basically give them their time back.
So it's basically TSA pre-check for your money.
Oh, that is a great way to put it.
You agree to undergo a rigorous background check once, you hand over a cache of highly sensitive personal data, and in exchange, you get to skip the agonizing, slow-moving security lines forever. The upfront cost of your privacy pays for long-term frictionless speed.
That captures the mechanism perfectly. Brock Blake, the CEO of Lendio, which is an AI-driven loan origination platform, he provided a brilliant real-world example of this in the report.
What was his take?
Historically, a small business owner looking for a capital injection would spend weeks gathering physical documents, scanning bank statements, building revenue predictions, while filling out manual applications. It was a massive time sink.
Right, terrible friction.
But today, utilizing Open Finance, Lendio can instantly ingest 6 to 12 months of bank transaction data in seconds. This allows them to deliver faster, smarter, and highly customized funding options without the business owner having to lift a single finger. The ultimate currency they are trading isn't just data, it is time.
But Lendio, or any other platform, still has to design a screen that asks the user for that data in the first place. How do they ask for a whole year of bank history without instantly triggering the fear response we talked about with the avoidant persona?
The report outlines three non-negotiable rules of reassurance that companies must build into their user experience. First, they must explicitly explain the payoff. You cannot just present a button that says connect bank.
Right, that's too vague.
Exactly. The prompt has to provide the context, using phrases like connecting your account reduces manual form filling by 20 minutes, or this enables instant loan approval.
Okay, that's rule one.
Second, they must ensure control. The user needs to see a prominent guarantee stating these permissions are under your full control and you can revoke this access at any time.
Very important.
And third, they must guarantee security, explicitly stating that your data is securely encrypted and access is restricted.
You know, Ryan Beaudry, an executive at MasterCard, made a point in the report that ties directly into this. He noted that context is everything when you are asking for data.
Absolutely.
If a consumer downloads a new app and doesn't understand the specific reason why you need their highly sensitive personal financial information right up front, they will close the app and never return.
Yep, immediate drop off.
Clear, digestible communication, especially when tied to a trusted brand name, does more to convince a skeptical customer than any back-end technological wizardry.
And when a company successfully communicates that context and earns that initial trust, they trigger what the report calls the data consent flywheel.
The flyway.
Yeah. Gilmar Hansen, an executive at the Brazilian fintech Recargapay, observed this phenomenon firsthand. He noted that customers who use open finance tools to onboard faster end up being 38% more active over the long term.
Oh, wow. So the upfront speed creates long-term loyalty.
Exactly. Once you get them through the door without friction and they experience the immediate benefit of saving time, their trust deepens. They become significantly more likely to adopt other products and services within that same ecosystem.
Okay, but let's pivot to what happens after they click allow. Because if we go back to the TSA pre-check analogy, the entire proposition falls apart if you hand over your data, get into the fast lane, and the metal detector is broken anyway.
That is very true.
If I give an app my data to speed up a loan, and the app still takes 3 days to process my application, I'm going to revoke my consent immediately.
Yeah.
The background machinery has to be flawless.
The background machinery is arguably the most complex part of this entire evolution. The conversation really has to move from consumer psychology to the invisible plumbing, making it all possible. The foundational elements here are APIs, application programming interfaces.
Right, the digital connectors.
Exactly. Historically, banks built massive walled-off databases that couldn't communicate with the outside world. APIs act as secure digital translators. They allow your bank servers to talk directly to a third-party budgeting app in real time, pulling only the specific data you authorize without ever handing over your actual login credentials.
Jess Turner, the global head of open finance at MasterCard, offered a rather sobering reality check about this tech infrastructure in the study.
She did.
She pointed out that having incredible lightning-fast APIs won't matter in the slightest if the underlying data quality and the trust model aren't strong.
Her point highlights the danger of legacy systems. You can build a state-of-the-art digital pipe connecting two financial institutions, but if the data flowing through that pipe is outdated, poorly formatted, or riddled with errors, the resulting financial service will be terrible.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Precisely. Companies are currently racing to modernize their legacy databases and infuse artificial intelligence into their operations just to clean, categorize, and process the sheer volume of transaction data flowing through these APIs.
And on top of cleaning the data, companies have to make it visible to the user. Roshni Joshi at Databricks introduced this concept of transparency by design, which I think is crucial.
It's the future, honestly.
It's no longer enough for a company to promise that your data is secure behind the scenes in some server farm. Consumers now need to see the automated lineage of their data. They need a centralized dashboard where they can log in and see a map that says, your data originated at Bank A, it is currently being used by budgeting app B, and mortgage lender C has read-only access for the next 30 days.
Giving the consumer a visual representation of their data control is the only way to maintain that trust flywheel.
But creating that level of transparency requires a massive technological overhaul. And it is important to note that banks are not undertaking this multi-million dollar infrastructure rebuild purely out of a sudden desire to be helpful.
Not at all.
This technological evolution is fundamentally being driven by a global legal movement. Regulators around the world are actively forcing financial institutions to open their walled gardens.
Yes, regulation is the hammer here. The European Union has proposed a comprehensive framework governing all financial data access. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority is currently publishing a highly detailed open finance roadmap.
And Australia is doing something that completely redefines the scope of this conversation. They are actively extending their consumer data right framework far beyond traditional banking, applying it to entirely different sectors like energy and telecommunications.
Which is massive.
Let's examine what that actually means for the consumer. Australia is expanding financial data sharing to include my energy provider and my cell phone company. So this isn't just about my checking account balance or my credit card statements anymore.
No, it's way broader. Regulators are laying down these guide rails because they fundamentally want open finance to break up monopolies and foster fierce market competition. By pulling in energy and telecom data, they are acknowledging a crucial reality.
Which is.
Your financial reliability isn't just defined by the cash sitting in your bank account. If someone has a thin credit file, but has flawlessly paid their utility and cell phone bills on time every single month for 10 years, that data is incredibly valuable for proving their financial
Oh,
trustworthiness.
that makes total sense.
Right. Regulators are actively moving the global system away from narrow open banking and toward a much broader, interconnected open data economy.
Bringing all of this together. The 8,000 consumer surveys, the executive interviews, the billions in potential revenue, and the massive regulatory shifts. The core takeaway for you, the listener, is that the balance of power has permanently shifted.
It really has.
For decades, the financial institutions held all the cards and dictated the terms of service. Today, your personal data is the engine driving their future growth. Because your data is worth hundreds of millions of dollars to these organizations, you now have the ultimate leverage.
Use it.
Exactly. You have the power to demand faster services, significantly better interest rates, and truly personalized financial insights in direct exchange for granting access to your history. The days of settling for clunky interfaces and slow approvals are over. You are firmly in the driver's seat.
And if we look just a few years into the future, building on what regulators in Australia are already doing with telecom and energy data, it leaves us with a pretty provocative concept to consider. We are rapidly accelerating toward a world of open everything. What happens to society when your utility bills, your cell phone usage, your streaming subscriptions, and your banking history all communicate with each other in real time to constantly dictate and update your overall financial reputation?
Oh.
How will you actively manage your digital footprint when every single transaction you make across every sector of your life is instantly connected, analyzed, and evaluated?
That is an entirely new paradigm for how we interact with the companies that manage our lives. The days of physically carrying a folder of printed utility bills into a bank lobby feel like ancient history. Keep demanding better tools, guard the keys to your personal data closely, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.